It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
For logbook servicing you can rely on, you need to make the right choice. You need trained professionals who are fully qualified to service your car according to manufacturer's specifications. For real peace of mind and a nationwide warranty, book in or book online at repcoservice.com.
G'day everybody, welcome to the show. It is the Carlton Show, another very happy Carlton Show. We're getting used to this round 19. We have defeated Adelaide and stuck it right up them on a number of fronts by 27 points on the weekend. You all know that, 5 out of 7, as the Teague train, choo-choo, starts to gather some real momentum. Lovely to see you again, Geckman.
Andy and Baz, how are you going?
Welcome back, Bagsy.
G'day, Andy. Gecks.
Woo! That's live tonight, boys and girls. Live.
Woo! Jesus.
That was... Olé! 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 And in the words of Andy Maher, to you Adelaide Crows, fuck you!
He's had a week off and he's come back.
Wow.
He's come back fired to the gills. Mm. We gave them what... the more I've thought about it this week, the more I'm convinced that there was a touch of hubris to their selection.
What does that mean?
They were a bit confident. They thought they could do a couple of things at the selection table. Not play the percentages. Roll the dice on a couple of fronts. Adelaide, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And beat us.
You read it that way.
I did. I thought the fact that...
Well,
They rest their centre half back, who's been in All-Australian contention, squad contention. They brought him over as an emergency. What the fuck?
Which is amazing.
They drop Eddie Betts against his old side,
please,
a bloke who's got an unbelievable record against us. And the one bloke that they had upright who could actually tag, physically go with Patrick Cripps, they drop him.
Yep.
So they say, we don't need to run with Cripps. Our midfield will beat their midfield. We can afford to rest Alex Keith because we think we've got enough down there. Well, they were torn apart, their key defenders. I thought, in the end, I reckon they were. The dropping of Betts was, well, good luck to them. They'll bring him back this week. There's no consistency to what they're doing over there. They've lost their way. Mm. I reckon they've lost their way for the last 18 months. And they thought they could turn up like they did last year and
they flogged us by 100 points last year.
So think about the turnaround in 18, 19 weeks of football.
It's massive.
It's unbelievable.
It's massive.
So we and on the top of all of that, there's the stock of stuff, which no one's talking about anymore. 6 weeks ago, we were a laughing stock of the competition because of that. No one's talking about it anymore.
No pun intended there.
They've dropped what?
A laughing stock.
Oh, no, none, but I wish I had have intended it.
Boom, boom.
Just a higher overview of what you're saying. I thought, as a comparison, it was one side playing for each other and the coach with effort and intensity, and the other side was the exact opposite.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I reckon that was pretty much the difference out in the ground for the whole game.
No, they've got problems. But fuck them. We're the team that's had problems in the past. Mm. So at the moment...
I was saying to Baz before the show, we can now look at another side with empathy, understanding what they're going through, because they're the feelings that we've seen and sort of had to go through ourselves on and off for a few years now.
Well, I don't think they're at that stage just yet.
No, I'm just saying the feeling of being a bit lost.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You know you can play better than you are, and you're trying to find reasons and wonder how it all works. And
yeah, for sure.
Whatever they decided to bring over, I think we need to give our blokes all the credit in the world. Oh. As much as they're a bit aimless at the moment, what they did dish up, I think, we took away from it through the course of the game.
The one word I just come up with, and I don't know if it's exactly true, I thought it was a clinical performance, and we stayed calm and composed.
That's to me how
throughout the whole afternoon. Yep. You can tell by the quarter-by-quarter lead that we had. We let it every change. Mm. Only 4 points at quarter time. And Gex, you'd agree, we probably should have had a couple of goal lead.
With the clearance and midfield.
We should have been a little bit further in front of quarter time. We had a 4-point lead. Half time, we go in 16 points up. Again, I think it was 7-8 to whatever they were, 5-4. So again, at half time, I felt like everyone I spoke to thought that we should have been further in front. We extend that lead to 22 points at three quarter time. They probably made a little launch in that quarter
there
at some stage. They had a bit of a launch at us. So we got to 28, came back to about 14. We ended up the quarter 22 in front. Last quarter, again, they probably had the better of the first part of the last. Mm. And then we 6 minutes to go, and we've kicked our last two goals. So we finished off that game, you know, full of running and ended up 27 in front. So at each quarter, that to me, it's a very mature performance.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you've said. I noted in the game, there were, I reckon, late in the second, early in the third, mid-third, and from about the 7 or 8 minute mark of the fourth, they had their momentum. Momentum was with them. And what I loved about our performance was the way we defended when they had moment. We soaked it up. There was nothing crazy about it. It was just methodical. It was hold the footy when we had it. It was defend when we had. And
changed up our
pacing.
We went quick.
Oh yeah.
And then we went slow. Yeah. Yeah. And then Gex always talks about we can get a bit fizzy.
Oh no, that's been our problem.
And it's all one way,
or
it's all the other way. I think there's been a bit of a change here, and he's given them a lot of license throughout the quarter. You know, don't just fucking leave it up to me at quarter time and half time and three quarter time to tell you what to do. You right? How about you guys taking some responsibility and understanding situations throughout the day, within quarters, when to go slow, when to pull up, as I said, Andy, or when to go quick. And I thought the ball movement in the first. Throughout the day, ball movement from defence to the forward line impeccable.
Where's that handballing game out of trouble and out of defence come from?
It was impeccable. And
we're pinging it around all over the joint, working our way through whatever they were dishing up from a defensive perspective.
I think we've got the evolution of our forward line since the start of this year, with the three or four smalls now patrolling that area with the ability to run up and down that channel.
Good point.
The channels, in hockey terms, they used to be called inside. It used to play inside left, inside right. And they weren't wings, but they were inside the wings in the central corridors. And Gibbons and Setterfield probably play those roles. And they just charge up and down that channel all day on both sides of the ground. And their work rate is extraordinary.
Yeah, no, it was outstanding.
Massive
on the weekend.
Massive.
But they're getting so good at linking up with play up and down the ground, so whether it's defence, central, or up forward, they're really having a big say in that continuity of transition.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Without Fisher, Fisher was laid out with illness. He's obviously another player that you can have, perhaps not in that role, because he's more in and around.
Oh, I can see him playing that role.
No, has he been, though?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
Although the way they used him has definitely changed.
A little bit forward, outside. Yep. Yeah. But without him in the side, they were the two that I wrote down, that Gibbons and Setterfield, they actually stepped up big time. Mm. Now, I'm not saying that
Gibbons been doing it for
he's been doing
good
it for a while.
Four
he's been doing
now.
It for a while. No,
he's
been
peak
excellent,
form,
excellent. But just without Fisher, you lose that maybe 20 possessions.
Yeah.
Dow comes in, well, he's obviously out of sorts and playing a different role. We needed someone to step up, and certainly Gibbons and Setterfield.
Oh, huge.
Just a massive, mate. Massive. It was his best game by a long way.
Setterfield. But it wasn't. It was just everything about his game.
Everything.
His kicking had penetration. His ball use was spot on. Mm. He was tough. Oh. He was strong.
So I think those cameos 2 or 3 weeks ago, as I was saying, gave him another insight into being on the spot at the moment when he had to take those set shots.
Yeah.
And he missed a few, and then he got a few that were really important. All those little incremental steps, I think some players grow naturally and some faster than others. I think you're seeing Setterfield in a season showing pretty
He made a quantum leap on the weekend. Andy, you said, I remember when he came to the club, you said, just watch this bloke. I know blokes, a fella at Sandy Dragons, and I said everyone on this show, I've told us all before, he cannot speak highly enough of him. Mm. They just said he's a jet, absolute jet. The competition didn't really know what he was like because he played two games.
Yeah, that's right.
2 years out?
Body had let him down. That's right. He'd played no footy in the first 2 years of his time on the Giants list. And so you bring him in. And look, again, if you want to see, well, I don't know how much of it's luck or how much of it's management, but the bloke who we got from Hawthorn was a miracle man. They'd bring blokes in at Hawthorn who were dead set shot to pieces, and he'd turn them around, and he'd get 8, 9, 10 seasons out of some players. This bloke came to Carlton with his body, you know, in all sorts of trouble, set of field. And in a year, in three quarters of a season, he looks like physically a different player. Physically a different player. So now I reckon what's going to happen, Russell's going to get time now with, I reckon he's with Cunningham, with Marchbank, with Charlie. He's going to get time with, he'll get time with McGovern. He'll get time with these blokes now. And give him a chance to find out who they are, what their sort of thresholds are like, and just make a note of all the guys that you've got doubts about their capacity to cope with the load of AFL footy, and just see what happens to them in the next two or 3 years. And I'm not saying they're all going to become superstars.
No, absolutely.
But just let this bloke do his job. It can take not much time in some cases. It might take a couple of years in others, but Setterfield's, he's going to be, you know, we went after a bloke last year and threw the kitchen sink at him in a chain. He chose to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on, if you want little head-to-head comparisons through careers to work out whether we've done the right or wrong thing, well, we got Setterfield for 30% of what we would have spent on Scheel if we got him. And I'm not potting Scheel. Mm. I'm just saying as a pure football
I think
commodity.
That's the art of recruitment. Of course it is. You know, you've got to look at the cheaper options that have got a lot of upside I reckon.
But this bloke, you know, at the moment, like you said, X, he's channeling, right? Mm. But, you know, in time, as the body gets bigger and stronger,
he'll be more than that.
It'll go inside. Yep. You know, he can be a weapon. Perhaps a weapon up forward as well, possibly.
Well, he could
be in rotation.
Over the journey, he might be behind Cripps. He might end up being our second best midfielder.
Mm. Mate, he wears a good jumper, and I tell you what, we did cite a little bit of what that was all about.
No, true.
Boy, oh boy, I've listed about 8 moments, highlights, call it what you like. I'm sure you guys will be able to add to this list, because, you know, that's obviously there's a lot of highlights, but the first one I saw was SPS.
When he had to go.
Oh, it was amazing. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
But he's found his feet. He knows how to play now. He understands.
Well, what a masterstroke now.
Oh, of course. Brilliant.
By the coach to realise that, obviously, you know, Marchbank's not playing. So we still play 7 defenders in rotation. Mm. So we're down to 6 without Marchbank. So he decides to put SPS back there. Now, I personally thought, gee, that's an interesting move, because I'm not quite sure what he is like a defender one-on-one. But on the weekend, and I think last week as well, like, he just uses the ball well.
Mm.
You know, it's a perfect spot for him at the moment. And I'm not saying he's going to be a halfback flanker all his life, but right now he's serving a purpose, because Marchbank, who else were you going to put back there as that 7th link? I'm not sure who
would
have in mind.
You might have to dig into the list a bit. You might have to look at a Schumacher or a Cottrell or someone who knows.
So it's a little masterstroke. But what he did with that, the pickup and spin. And then he could have easily basked in his glory and, you know, the crowd was up and he could have just stayed there. But what did he do? He got on his bike.
Mm.
He got the next follow-up touch.
Mm.
He got to the wing, got another follow-up.
Next contest. Yeah.
And then I think he passed it off to, I'm not sure, Murph. We end up getting a goal out of it anyway. Mm-hmm. Kennedy, that was our first goal. Kennedy kicked the goal.
Murphy over the top.
Yep.
It's interesting you say that, because now that you say it, it's actually appearing with a lot of our players that they are following up into the next 2 or 3 phases of play.
Mm.
You know, so they've got an appetite now that we haven't seen before these blokes.
What's that called, Gex? We were talking about a word quite a few weeks ago that early in the year, parts of the year, they were failing in certain areas and we were saying, oh, you know, the bereft of skills or the bereft of this. I'll tell you what they were bereft of. Confidence.
No, they're playing a different footy now. They look completely at ease with what they're being asked to do and their ability to square contests. Oh, they just look at it. Yeah, shake your head. I mean, there are 10, 12 players who are just performing way better
as a
collective. Better now than they have at any stage in the last.
Teague talks about preparation. He says from week one, they trained well, they prepared well, and now they're getting some results. He says it every week. Now, I hope that continues. I really hope that continues. Anyway, the next one was the Will Satterfield, you know, pretty much the same as, a little bit different, but the reach in, the blind turn, and then he passed it off to Levi and he kicked his goal. But that moment there, when that was just a massive moment. I just saw Cooter in that.
It's touch of class stuff. They're starting to expand their repertoire, those blokes.
That just
I'm sure you're going to go through it. Keep going.
No, I've got Daisy twice dived into the contest, you know, head first.
Yep.
Simo went up to him and gave him a massive pat on the back. He's probably a player, Andy, that's absolutely on top of the ground at the moment. Daisy
Thomas, he's flying.
Flying.
Absolutely.
Levi, you're around the Levi, the audacity to take that mark from DeLuca and turn side on. Yeah. As soon as he turned side on, I turned to Fee, I said, he's going to fucking kick this. Because he grew in confidence. He wouldn't have tried that kick.
What about
when's he ever tried that kick?
What about the one down the other end?
That's the other moment. Mm. And, you know, and the fist's up. Yep. Levi has just grown like, I don't know, like Jack and the Beanstalk. Well, you know, he's just gone crazy. You know, and straight through the middle.
He's 28 years old. How many seasons has he played?
It's remarkable.
Since when has Levi done party tricks? They're party tricks, mate.
No, it's a...
Bang, another one. Cripps. The first clearance of the last quarter.
Clean as a whistle.
I'm sure we've talked about this countless times on this show. Game in the balance, three-quarter time. Boys, you got to bring it. You got to do something. You know, you got to do something early in that last quarter to put, you know, stamp your imprimatur. Gets the first clearance. Wooshka comes out to Soss, was it, Jack? And got the little handball to DeLuca. First 30 seconds. Bang. It just puts the opposition on the back foot.
So what happened next? So we kicked that first goal last, right? Got it out to 28. They got the next clearance, I think, and they went forward. Did you happen to see who got his hands on three ball? Didn't do anything with them, but they went forward deep inside 50. Did you see who was in amongst all the defenders? Did you see who was down there? And as the ball sort of bunted its way,
was it Levi
to their Sam Walsh?
Yeah, I've got him listed. I've got him listed. I need to talk about him.
Game, I need to get back now. And even in our great days, right, when we were winning flags and contending,
yep,
our midfield never did that.
They'd be running forward of the ball.
Like, hey, champions of our club.
My turn.
Champions of our club. And I'll name them. Ratton, Bradley, Williams, they would never get down the last line. They just didn't. Ratton did when he was a back pocket player, but not as a midfielder.
No.
Walsh understood, okay, time now to get back and give him a chop out here. The first chance Adelaide had to do something to eat immediately into the four and a bit goal lead that we'd established, Sam Walsh is down there.
Yeah. I had him listed. We'll talk about it now. Walsh is holding the ball midway through the third.
That was
a terrible decision, right?
Stupid.
And a goal resulted. Okay. So the kid's 19 and he's played...
18 games.
Right. Would have been very easy for him to sook it up then, to really sook it up and just, you know, tail between the legs.
Nah,
well, you know what? From that point forwards, I think he had 16 touches. He had about 7 clearances from that point forward.
Yeah, right.
That was virtually him saying,
no. not copping that.
I'm not copping that crap.
Yep, yep,
and he put his head over the nut, I reckon, at least six or seven, eight times in that last quarter and a half. He absolutely tore him a new one. And this is a kid with, you know, I know he's got a bit of size about him, but he just put his head over the nut countless times. He was enormous in that last bit.
You can guarantee Sam Walsh will always do the right thing on a football field, I think. And we've seen bugger all of his career so far. I don't think he will ever be any different than what we're seeing. He is a phenomenon at his age.
But this is what he's
done.
The
maturity is outrageous.
The numbers that we've said this before, the numbers that he churns out week in, week out at this level, it wasn't like he was getting 45 and under 18s.
Yeah.
And 45 and under 16s. He was getting
27 and 30. It's not so much the stats, but what he does, like what Bass is describing.
I mean, phenomenal.
They're the sort of things you see in a seasoned footballer. Guy who's hardened and knows the game from back to front.
Yep.
Like, it's ridiculous.
The more you look at him, the more you see, the more I see Joel Selwood in him. And I see he's a bit more of a runner. Well, he's a bit more of a runner than
run 16 k's, mate.
So you can't knock Selwood. Selwood's been a workhorse his whole life.
Yeah,
but so Sam might run 2.5 k's more than Selwood did at his peak.
Thank you.
But Selwood makes up for it in pure flat out aggression.
But
you know,
this kid, that's his weapon.
Oh, of course.
His running ability is the massive weapon.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he's got that, whereas Selwood might. Unwillingness to be beaten in a contest. He's got a brutal mindset.
And he's got some blokes around him that he's learning off.
Hunts the footy as hard. In the hustle and bustle, he hunts the football. I just want to get my hands on the football.
Absolutely.
Harder than anyone else in our side.
And he's got this ability when he's tackled to get a handball, get a little kick so he doesn't get caught holding the ball. And it was a poor decision, but who cares,
The importance of Walsh as well is because you look at the stage of their careers in Murphy and Ed Curno. We were screaming out for the next generation to show that type of ability. To sort of be...
He's come at the right time, hasn't he?
Oh, my God. Has he what? Because we're all looking left and right thinking, where are the next
Where's
ones
the next
coming
ones
from?
Coming through? Yeah, yeah.
Well, here he is, boys
Absolutely.
And girls.
Well, I don't think we've got a shortage of midfielders coming through.
No, but I think this type, absolutely.
The Cripps tackle in the last on Atkins when he corralled him near the boundary line. Now, they were pressing then. Had he got round Cripps, Atkins, he was going to have a shot on goal.
Oh, when he got him by the strides?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just corralled him.
Hung on.
Got a hunk. You know, for me, again, they're big wins. Because he was off to the races. Had he got around him, he was going to have a ping.
Yep.
Setterfield twice now. Early in the game, corralled the bloke,
out in the wing.
Bang. Snap. Tackle. Sorry, that was on Atkins. The Cripps one, I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it wasn't Atkins.
It wasn't
Setterfield
Atkins.
Setterfield got
Atkins. My mistake. Setterfield, his last goal.
Beautiful.
It was just like...
Beautiful.
Mate, it was icing on the cake.
Yeah.
You know, when he kicks that, with 6 minutes to go, we know we got him done and dusted. But the ability to kick that ball around the corner, he tried one early in the match, missed. Cripps dished it out to him. Of course, it was Cripps. He dished it out to everyone during the day. But that was just moments where they're good moments.
Oh, they're great moments.
They're great moments.
Like, that's when you can just enjoy the last. That's when you know.
The last 5 minutes, you just sit back. Yeah. And Gibbons put
Did
the
you
last
ever,
one
Were
in.
You ever really worried, though?
I wasn't. I really wasn't.
I was not concerned at all.
I didn't think we were going to lose, but I got reasonably angry and frustrated for the first half of the last quarter because I think we just got sucked in with the bombing of the ball, added congestion straight down their throats over and over again.
Yeah, they did definitely ramp up. They ramped up their press.
They set up the way any side would when it's locked into their forward line.
Their pressure around the contest did go.
But the concept of ball retention, and especially in congestion, is something that I'm just going to speak about till I'm blue in the face.
I hear you when you do this, and I've got no problems with you taking, but I just hope you give enough credit to the pressure that is being brought to bear by opposition teams.
I will accept anything except a blind kick forward.
But sometimes you've got no option.
Yes, but if you do it 10 times in a row and it gets turned over every time, then you've got to work it out.
I'd like to see the 10, but... I'd like to see the test.
Just watch the first half of the last quarter.
Yeah, I thought we absorbed their pressure in that period of the last quarter really well.
Yeah.
Really well.
Well, we had to because it kept coming back to us.
Yeah.
Had no choice, but we did do that.
I just think sometimes you want to see football played perfectly.
No. No.
And the opposition don't allow you to do that
sometimes. I'm talking about fundamentals.
I know what you're talking about
perfection. And we finally got it when we actually took a mark, and I think it was Simo, and then he turned around and went back and across and we switched.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd done that 5 minutes ago...
Yeah, but if you take a mark, you can stop the play. In that phase of footy that I think we're both talking about,
yes,
there was a lot of live football in that era.
That gives you the sort of full stop that your brain says, okay, now we can do it.
Now I can reset, yeah.
But you, in general play, you also have to make decisions with ball in hand.
No, I understand
that. You have to actually turn around and go backwards sometimes.
I understand that. I understand. Yeah,
for the greater part of the game, I thought we did that pretty well.
Yeah, oh, so
even in clearance, even in congestion, we always had a man back, didn't we? It was either Cripps to Ed, Cripps to Murphy, Cripps to Walsh, Cripps to Setterfield.
Yeah.
At stoppages, and we won a shitload of clearances. I think it was 52-29. Yeah. It was clear domination.
There's a bloke we haven't talked about yet who was, the more the game wore on, the better he got, was Andrew Phillips.
Oh.
Yeah.
What
an enigma he is.
His tap work was...
First bounce.
Well, I thought O'Brien, I reckon the first 6 or 7 minutes, O'Brien, they looked like they're going to try and go through O'Brien. And again, I reckon this was Adelaide. I don't know whether it just played out this way, but if you go, I kept thinking, oh, geez, O'Brien's off to a flyer here. They kept kicking it to him. They looked for him in the corridor. He had 3 or 4 marks early.
I'm just talking about tap work in the centre.
No, so am I.
Yeah, tap work, Phillips won the tap work.
No, first quarter.
But there were a couple of, even early, there were a couple of moments where Phillips tried to body up O'Brien, and O'Brien was just too strong for him.
Yeah.
And then he started to jump. And the centre clearance work, no-brainer.
Yeah.
Phillips destroyed him
from
go to woe.
Absolutely.
But around the ground, this was where I thought Phillips was outstanding. I thought Phillips just wore him down, took him forward a couple of times, could have kicked a couple, kicked
one. So did Casbolt. Did the same.
Well, that's right.
They both went forward.
Oh, I thought Phillips...
They exposed him a little bit.
Yep. And he was spent by the end of the
game. And the two of them, Levi kicked one on him, and Phillips kicked one on him as well.
Missed one and kicked one.
Could have kicked another one, yeah. Look, I stated today that I thought O'Brien was one of their better players. No doubt about that. You know, he's had 20 touches, 15 contested, 7 marks, 7 clearances himself, and he had 42 knockouts himself. I don't know I don't know his tap-outs. I don't know the...
I thought Phillips was the more effective of the two ruckmen.
In the tap-outs.
Our clearance domination, especially in the centre clearances, had a lot to do with Phillips.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And the other thing I really noticed as well, it was predominantly Cripps, Ed Curno and Murph, but I don't know if you guys could be bothered, but watch the replay and just watch how they set up at the centre bounces because they're rotating their positions.
Mm.
Cripps would be on the defensive side one bounce, then he'd go to the attacking side, swap with Ed. Murph would be on the wing, next centre bounce, Murph would go attacking side. They'd just keep switching and changing all the time.
Yep.
And Phillips was dialed in because he was tapping it exactly where they were expecting it to go. It was a bit like when we played the Bullies
It reminded me of
they
that.
Had, they had an absolute field day that day.
It reminded me very much like that,
but
actually.
But when you're in control, it's one thing to have control, but to execute what you're trained for and make it come off, it was beautiful to watch.
And I'll tell there was 25 bounce downs in the middle for the game. I think we won 17 of them. It was 17-8. But the makeup of the players in that centre bounce, we didn't use many through there, you know.
No.
It was basically the three you mentioned, Gex and Walsh.
Mm.
Not sure if I saw too many more combinations, actually. Not sure if Gibbons ever went in there.
And I, as much as that is working, I'm just wondering long-term how good an idea that is to just sort of...
Oh, look, sides will do... Look, better sides.
I'm just talking about the evolution of our midfield group.
Better sides are going to be better at it. against us. And, you know, West Coast will probably identify that. And, you know, it worked against the Bullies that time.
I guarantee you one thing about West Coast. There's no way they're rolling the dice by not having someone play on Cribs.
No.
There's no way. They'll have Elliot Yeo smacking into him.
Of course.
And Yeo's job will be to shoulder him and work off him. There's no way known they will roll the dice by having someone go head to head.
No. Of course not.
No chance.
But there's, for 4 or 5 weeks now, we've seen completely different dynamics in midfield. We've seen Cripps tagged and held. We've seen Cripps dominate.
We've seen Cripps not play 2 games.
We've seen Cripps, yeah. We've seen Ed Curnow take that role, and Murphy take that role and be the man. So they should know exactly what you're talking about is going to happen as well.
I'm sure, though. Yeah, I'm
sure
they will.
So it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out this week.
There's a natural switch up now. I mean, if Matt Kennedy's fit, and it looks like he is, and this is happening, then there's a natural starting 6-6-6 switch up. And that is, well, Cripper, you go to the goal square. Mm. Kennedy, you get in for 2 or 3 bounces. Let's see what that does. I mean, here's a bloke who was elite.
Maybe not right now.
Elite inside mid. No, I'm just saying if Cripps is getting beaten.
Oh, right.
I'm saying if you need to change it up for 2 or 3 bounces in the middle of a game.
Even Will Setterfield.
Yeah, give him. Like, I'm not afraid to see whoever's in charge of making those calls make the call.
But the moment it's working, so you don't.
Oh, no, I'm not changing
anything. It's working fantastically well.
No, it's only things start going bad.
Yeah.
I thought.
My last moment was Liam Jones late in the game, big mark over the top, and a couple of big fists in. You know when you're in the crowd and you just go, fucking get a fist on it. Mm. You know, someone get a fist. Well, it was him.
Yeah.
Twice. Bang. Killed it. Yeah. Completely killed the ball. You know, again, little things, you know, mean a lot. And, you know, Liam Jones, I don't think he had a lot of possessions, but God, Jenkins. He took him to the cleaners.
Put him away. Yeah. Oh, no. I thought. So, and this is the thing, you know, idiots look at rankings, points, and fantasy league and super coach and all that bullshit. And there's this rush now to use those numbers as a way of rating players.
But how about looking at the raw, the game in its rawness?
Oh, mate.
Liam Jones was responsible for Jenkins, and Jenkins did sweet FA.
Mm hmm.
You beat him, Liam.
Oh, he's outstanding.
So you are in one of our better players the day.
And the other one.
We don't care that you didn't have 15 kicks and whatever. Nope. Who cares? Nope. You beat your man.
The other one.
They had 5 marks inside 50, Andy, between him, Jenkins.
For the match.
You're
kidding.
They only had 1 to 3 quarter time.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
We had marks inside 50.
16 to 5,
right?
Yep.
Tex Walker, Lynch.
Yep.
Not so much a marking, but no,
he doesn't. He takes it.
And who's the other dodo I just said?
Jenkins.
Jenkins, right? Which Jenkins, realistically, you know what he does? He waits for Eddie Betts to do all the hard yards. He sits in the goal square and gets the Joe the Goose over the top and finishes it off.
Yeah.
When you have to play on a player this time, Jenkins, what happened?
So Wietering's performance to stick at it on Walker. On a day where Walker gets his cut, you got the one on the lead.
He started well, didn't he?
But Walker. Then he gets the 250s, which was absolute bullshit. The first one was, Wietering, Jacob, just get 50. Out of there. Fuck
exactly.
Your out of there.
Like, he's got to control that brain of his.
Well, we gave 2 goals away from 50s.
But other than, and then the third one was that one where, you know, Wietering got sucked up to the bloke further afield, let him skunk out the back, which is what he does. Don't get a lot of ball in the corridor anymore, Walker. Walker's like a 6'4" half-forward flanker. Don't like the contest, Taylor.
Did he play the second half?
Oh, mate, Wietering's performance. Wietering munched him from quarter time. Yeah, he did.
Taylor?
Yeah. Did he come out in the second half?
Yeah, he did. Wietering destroyed him in the second half. And here's an evolution of Jacob Wietering, right? I reckon Jacob Wietering, once upon a time, in the not-too-distant future, if he had a couple kicked on him early, he might have started to get a bit worried and a bit self-preservational and might go into his shell a little bit. After quarter time, he's got 2 kicked on him. He's given away the double 50. He just said, well, I'm taking over here. I'm taking over. Anything that comes near me, I'm marking it.
Came back hard.
Again.
I'm going to outbody the prick.
Andy,
I'm going to destroy
this is a sign of maturity.
Oh, I thought he was outstanding.
You know, sign of maturity from Wietering and then Walsh. You know, we've different scenarios. But again, you talk about the Wietering, all right, he got off the chain a little bit, but his maturity to rein him in and pull his pants down in the second half was fantastic.
Yep.
Walsh, we've already discussed what happened to him. He showed the maturity to, you know, to put his head over the pill so many times. There's certain blokes at the moment that are just they don't have awesome four quarters, but when they're down, they find a way to get out of their little rut.
There was not
within
one,
the game.
Even Paddy Dow, who, you know, like, I don't know what you, when you get to your votes, but the two guys who probably were our, like, I would have thought that Dow and Mackay were probably two of our poorer performers.
Fair enough,
that. But they still had their contributions.
Well,
but
it's
Dow
funny.
Dow had some really clean hands.
Six tackles.
He was in the game, Dow, you know.
It's really funny.
No passengers. Yeah, they're only passengers, but their effectiveness is varied, that's all.
Kind of our poorest four or five actually got on the scoreboard. Now, Mackay kicked a goal.
Yep.
Kennedy kicked a goal. Lang kicked a goal. Mm. You know, there might have been one or two others. But those three predominantly didn't have good games, numbers-wise. Yeah. They did tackle. Kennedy and Lang did tackle, at least.
Lang's little left-foot finish was a touch
of class. Oh, it was magnificent. Beautiful. Magnificent. DeLuca, he got on the scoreboard, didn't have a huge numbers, but he got 11, put
five
a bit of pressure
tackles,
on him. How many?
Five tackles.
Yeah, see, these are the things that when Teague talks about role players, he doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we want our four or five forwards. I mean, I'm sure he'd love them to kick three goals each. But forward pressure at the moment in our team has gone through the roof.
Oh, we're playing a front half game. I mean, this
is not it about. What about our intercepts?
In there and we're keeping it in there.
What about the intercepts? When their defenders have been coming out, I can't recall how many intercepts have we made. It's incredible.
Mm.
Incredible. And it probably started in the
halfway through the second quarter v Brisbane, I reckon.
Did it? Yeah. And I'll tell you, it takes a lot of effort to intercept those balls coming out of defence.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to run. You got to get on your bike. But I reckon there was, in the first 11 weeks, I didn't see any of that.
Did you ever have a moment's doubt in your mind that the old fella was going to kick it from 45? Did you ever have one moment of doubt? These blokes sitting around me were going, oh, he'll have to lay this off. He can't kick that far. And I didn't. So I was just sitting there with the girls. And I thought, do you know who this bloke is? Mm. He was never, ever, ever not going to kick that goal.
Nope.
It was just one of those little moments where you go.
Well, little blokes don't miss goals.
Oh, some of them do.
That's another thing that's been happening the last month or so is our backmen have pushed up higher than usual to get around that 50-metre arc.
What about Plowman? Plowman didn't kick a goal, but
he gave two away.
He actually passed it to Simpson, didn't he?
So, you know,
that pass was magnificent.
We've had scoring influences from all of our backmen recently, which is really interesting. It wasn't happening in the first half of the season or even last year that I can recall because they just had a line that was a bit deeper than they're having
now. When the game's in flow now and it's on our terms, we're playing a much more front half game now. So that just drags.
So maybe that's the confidence that we are actually going to keep it in the forward line because we used to get sucked in over the back often.
They've gone to number one in the comp.
I know. I was worried when I first saw those two
Ain't they gone to number one in the comp? From 16 in the comp, we've gone to number one now in forward half
pressure.
But doesn't even that, just getting back to that point about the Stengel
and time
and
in forward
goals,
half and all that forward stuff.
This improving game sense, right? There's no runners going out anymore.
Mm.
So their first two goals were from little blokes out the back. By quarter time, we've turned the game around. Completely turned the game around. Yeah. Like we've had 9 scoring shots to 5. We're on top. Should be further in front. So that's all happened without coaching intervention. Our game sense and our ability to make adjustments on the run.
Well, number six is having a huge influence on the ground and off the ground. I seen him come off the ground and he was like pumping blokes, pumping them, just talking to them, just willing them on. It was almost a stage where he virtually said, come on, you know, we've got this mob, one more, we've got them.
Did you happen to see him at the end of the game after the siren sounded? I need someone to, if anyone saw what I think I saw, Let us know via Twitter.
What'd you see?
So they've won the game. Song's starting to play around the MCG. And he looked at Plowman, and there's a shot on the replay. He looks at Plowman and he goes, like he sniffs. And I reckon he said to Plowman, smells all right, doesn't it? Like, do you like, you know, this whole, this wicked getting used to the smell of this.
Mm.
Have a look at the replay after, like, 30 seconds after the siren. Have a look and see whether I'm reading too much into it. But he looked at Plowman and he gave it that, and they had a bit of a laugh.
I hope he didn't fart.
Well, maybe somebody farted. That could be right. But out in the middle of the MCG, they're surrounded by stinking blokes after a game of footy. You're allowed to fart, and no one's going to pick that up.
No,
you know
if that's
I mean?
True, Andy, I love it, mate.
Have a look. Just have a look.
I think the whole demeanour at the moment, you know, every player, they're loving their footy, they're smiling, they're happy. Look, it's fantastic. Look, one thing I felt on a negative stage was that we had so much more of the ball and we seemed in control. We've ended up with 46 inside 50s apiece. Oh, I find that staggering. I thought we would have had way more than that. Given the fact that we had way more of the play,
so
thought.
The marks inside 50 sort of counter that a bit, 16 to 5, doesn't
it?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, mate, they've only had 15 shots of golf, so, and they're 46. Mm. That's one in three. We've had 22
so that,
scoring
that,
shots from
that
46.
Either says,
one in three for them, one in two for us. So, again, defensively, like you said, Andy, they set up well.
That either says Adelaide didn't have a focal point up forward that they could kick to, or they were just bombing it in there, or they didn't have intensity in their forward half that we had off hands when the ball hit the ground. I don't know what that all means, but
they're mid. Oh well, yeah, I don't know.
So under Teague, 46 is probably one of the least we've had.
Mm.
It was just, you know, well, it's probably not a negative. A lot
of those statistics.
I don't know.
Wishy washy sometimes.
Yeah,
aren't they?
I don't. I mean, I know you love looking at the numbers and comparing them week on week, but...
But I feel that this game, what did we win by, 27 points?
Yep.
I think we were deserving of a 7-goal win. That's how it felt to me. That much in control that I felt that throughout the day we probably squandered a few opportunities. Throughout the day, I think Setterfield kicked the ball to Dow. He had Gibbons over the back. He had Jack beside him. The Adelaide bloke spoiled him. There was players everywhere. He picked that one, didn't quite come off. The one that he intercepted, and we had two players on their own, and he's kicked it to them, and that frickin' O'Brien, who I think kicked the ball to frickin' Setterfield, actually kicked it back to O'Brien. Setterfield kicked it back to O'Brien. Mm. So yeah. there were opportunities, I think, and probably we kicked 13-9, so that's good kicking. But at one stage, it was 7-8.
There was a tendency a few times when we had the ball in space, the tendency was to go wider rather than inside when we had players on inside. Mm. I think that's the next stage.
Walsh had a ping at the goals. He had Harry on his own.
Yeah.
These are fine-tuning things, obviously. Mm. I mean, I'm very happy with a 27-point win, trust me.
Yeah.
But I felt that throughout the day we had them and we could have really, you know, just...
Yeah, I'm a little bit of help if you
had... And like you said, Gex, earlier, we're not that side.
We didn't have a dominant forward.
We're still learning.
We didn't have a dominant forward on the day. I mean, Levi's kicked three, but he's got... he wasn't taking massive amounts of big
one,
pack
he had
marks,
one contested mark.
Yeah,
the day,
there wasn't... There
imagine,
was none
if,
of that.
Imagine if someone like... Charlie had played in that game.
Well, just if you just had Harry, Harry. Look, I got no doubt. Look, I just want him to be more than he is sometimes, and he was.
He's not in great form.
No, he's not in great form.
He's competing.
Yeah, he's
he's
doing
competing and getting the ball to ground, which is the bare minimum.
Yeah, absolutely. He's doing the non-negotiable baseline stuff. No,
correct.
No question.
No.
So when they said when they took Talia off him and put Otten on him. That was an admission from their box that we've got this bloke beaten.
Mm.
That should have been when Harry said, well, I've fucking got this bloke covered.
Mm.
Kicking to me, boys, you know. But he's just not, as much as he's a gregarious personality off the field, I don't reckon he's quite that yet on it.
Yeah.
And that'll come. Like, he's still a baby, you know, in footy terms. Mm. And key position forwards, we know, take time. But I just want him to... I'd like to see one more game this year where he just
a second
really,
win game just to
where
get
he just
that up
dominated,
again.
You know, like took his eight marks and kicked his four. I just want to see one more of those games before the year's done.
Mm.
Like, he should have had, was it the Bulldogs game? He kicked four. I mean, and he got him early.
Mm.
He could have kicked, he could have really filled his boots up that day.
Mm.
Just wanting to have one match where he,
yeah,
just the world.
Kick the goal, Langy!
Where the world's.
Yes!
Where the world's talking about him a bit, you know, but you know, we can't have everything at the moment. And it was an amazing effort when you think that they've done it. They've beaten a side whose season, you know, when they played that game, their top eight spot was on the line, and we beat them without without the players we had out of our side.
Yep.
That was a pretty solid performance by us.
I agree. Cripps?
What do you want to say about him? He was...
He's back!
But he knew. He took what they gave him. You know what? You're not going to...
Mm.
All right, well, okay, watch me go to work.
That's it. There was no resistance, really, was there?
So. No. And he was a belligerent prick on Saturday. Mm. Like, he was pushing blokes.
He pushed Walsh. His first goal.
Oh, he headbutted him. He rhino charged.
Oh, Jesus, Cripper. You're right.
But he was just, he'd get up from a skirt, like a little scrimmage, and he didn't care who it was, you know, just get away from me. Like, he was just dismissive of all of them. I'll tell you what he did do. He made Rory Sloane look stinky.
Had no impact at all, Sloane, did he?
Sloane could not go with him at all.
Mm.
And he made Sloane look like a real second rater.
Well, that's where stats lie completely, because Sloane's end up having about 25, 26. I didn't even know he was playing.
But that's really? What you do in the modern game.
I didn't even know he played.
Not the good Crouch, the other one. Yeah. He's a dead set crab who gets 40 every week. He is a dead set sideways lurching crab, that bloke. The other one's a good player. Brad's the... Matt, I don't know what they think he's Christmas, this bloke.
He doesn't damage it, does he?
His meters gained is probably negative.
Well, he doesn't hurt you when he gets the footy. And they're going to, I don't know, who gets a
fucking... He's a stink bomb.
A stink bomb. Mm. I'm pretty much done, boys. Like, I'm just a very comfortable Carlton supporter right now. I will say, I've been told, just the bigger picture stuff in terms of the coach. A bloke told me today, so I'll tell you, and I'll put it out there, and I'll put it out for what it's worth. But a bloke's told me that Wolsey's having quite a, not a, when I say a lot to say, I don't mean he's having a lot to say, but I'm told that Wolsey's been a stronger presence, fatigue.
With the coaching panel?
Yeah, just, you know, helping out, whatever. I didn't get specifics.
With the coaching panel or just working with Teague?
Well, I don't know details.
Right.
But what I'm being told is that game day, setups.
What I mean is the selection committee
for the
coach.
No, I don't think he's picking the team. I don't think
he's not working with a selection.
No, but I reckon he's... No, but what as it was put to me, he's having a really strong impact on the way Teague's coaching the team.
Right.
And so I'll put that out there for this, for this reason. If that's a case, right, and I'm happy for someone to tell me I'm right or wrong. I'm not staking my flimsy reputation on being right or wrong on this one, but... If it's right and Wolsey wants to keep doing that, aren't we done?
Mm. Mm.
Aren't we done?
You can save a fair bit of quid too, hey, I reckon.
We're over. It's all right. Why do we need to go and get another bloke to come in and oversee the coaching staff and be a director of coaching and pay him $600,000-$800,000 a year for a 3-day commitment?
Well...
When we've got Wolsey there, who's not coaching the team, he's saying, David, keep going.
Mm.
Do what you do. Because this bloke has dead set not put a foot out of play so far. Midweek, pre-game, post-game, demeanour in the box, the moves he's making, the way the team's playing. He has not put one hair out of place, David Teague. Has he done anything wrong so far?
We have unearthed one.
What?
You laughed at me 5 weeks ago.
You're in love with him.
It's not over yet. You've got to understand the three big boys that we're playing the next four or five weeks.
No, I understand that.
That's going to tell a tale as well.
I was just going to say, if we unsettle West Coast for periods of the game, We don't have to beat them.
No.
And I don't expect we will, but...
I think we can.
Oh, well, I hope you're right.
I reckon we can beat them. I really hope
you're right.
No, I'm telling you, I reckon we can beat them.
Well, they're going
There's one area of the ground that we'll talk about when we're talking about next week.
Well, we're talking about it now.
Talking about it now?
Well, why not?
Well, I think the midfield, we can certainly match them. I think our back line will certainly be tested, but I think they're up to them. The one area I'm concerned about is their back line v our forward line. Levi and Harry, if you can't mark it, you got to bring that ball to ground, and those little blokes, you got to create havoc down there. Absolute havoc. Keep it in. Get goals off the ground. Whatever you do, right? Once that ball gets in there, because I'll tell you what they do, you bomb it long and McGovern and Barras will just pick you off all day.
But then they spread.
Yep.
They get ahead of the footy and they pick you apart with their kicking.
Correct.
They
are, correct. Hmm. So that's the area I think if we can get on top of them in that area there and nullify them from rebounding from 50. That's the area.
It's a huge test. I mean,
that's the area.
I reckon
the other two areas, I think I'm pretty comfortable.
I think they're small forwards.
Oh, yeah.
They're small forwards versus our small forwards as far as their ability to kick goals and more dangerous.
But our backs at the moment, right, are keeping sides down to 60 points, 70 points in a game. And I'll tell you.
You've got to look at who we're playing as well.
Hawthorne played West Coast. That game was 60 to 65. Mm. Collingwood played West Coast and knocked them off. That was 60 to 67. They're not a massive scoring side. They punish sides who are low on the ladder. But sides who are emerging, and I think we're emerging, personally.
I think we've got a great seven weeks.
I think we're riding it up to our ears.
I think the challenge comes at the perfect time. Yeah. We're on top of the ground. We're feeling good about ourselves. They're coming over here. We have a go. They're nothing to be afraid of.
No, definitely not.
All I was going to say was from Teague's perspective, if we beat him, well, but if we, even if we just, we're with him the whole way. The win-loss stuff now doesn't really
matter. No.
We've won our six. If we win one.
Oh, you want to be competitive against the three top sides that we're going to be playing in the next month.
Yep.
And you want to beat St Kilda, obviously. But last year at the G, the year they won the grand final,
we lost
10 points. And if you go through that side, you'll find that side was, not a good side that we put out on the park.
Yeah, no, I agree. No. I'm not fearful that we're going to get taken to the cleaners at all. I'm not worried about that. But
Cruiser will be back, do you think?
I wouldn't rush him back.
Well,
don't know what they're managing for. That it's a mystery, really. Is it for a concussion or is it a body?
It could have been the concussion.
I reckon he looked sick. I reckon when he got hit, we talked about this last week.
I've got a feeling it's his head.
Oh, I reckon he looked a bit. He looked a bit crook.
Mitch McGovern not ready yet.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll wait and see.
You're the person who knows everyone.
I don't know everyone. What do I know about?
Like a journo, you should know.
I'm not. No.
We're just pickles. I'm asking you questions. You give me donuts.
Well, how would I know whether...
Cunningham, will he be back?
Well, I don't know. Is he back or not?
I think he'll be back, but he might go through the twos.
I think Paddy Dow has to be replaced with somebody this week. There is a spot available.
Fisher. Fisher will probably come back.
The automatic if he's right.
Yep.
He was just crook, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well, he's probably got the head cold that's going around. He'll be right.
You got a cold?
Yeah.
What are you doing standing next to me?
Well, no, I'm sitting down.
Don't talk my way, talk the other way.
I'd be keen to get Stocker back in the side as soon as possible.
He's flying.
Personally.
He's flying. They had an easy kill, but everyone had a lick in the ice cream and the rest.
They're keen to have a look at the bloke who kicked four again on the weekend. Not your bloke, you're in love with, the other one.
Yeah. He's an interesting
cat. They might think, you know, if Dow's out.
Not this week.
It's hard to look. I've seen Owie's highlights package. Is he a mark and kick man? Does he have any tricks?
I don't really know much about him.
My only concern is, does he have enough craft?
Well, I don't know, mate. But you know, well,
but he's certainly kicking goals.
They're not disinterested in him as a player.
He's got a lot of upside, I think.
There's a Fasolo again had a good game, kick three, had 20 again. But the one thing, Faz, the one thing I reckon why you're not getting a gig. Again, one tackle, son.
Mm.
One tackle.
Well, but it's a bit like, having said that right about him, it's a bit like Adelaide recruiting Bryce Gibbs. and wanting him to do things that he's never done in his career before.
Hmm.
If you're going to bring Alex Assolo to Carlton and say,
well, you can't tackle. How do you play a whole career without tackling?
Because some blokes sag offers, get into space, create space, be usable. Some blokes just aren't
in traffic. Mate. You got to tackle.
No, well, okay. What is Alex Fasolo's career tackle numbers like?
I'd say putrid.
Yeah, well,
Harry Lyon.
Looks like a Marsden blazer.
But you're just not going to, at 27 years of age already.
No, won't get a game then.
Well, spot on. So stop, get out of love with him.
Yeah. I'll tell you, they won by 75 points, the Rezzies.
Mm.
75 points.
They're still in it.
They are very much in it now. they've still got a game in hand.
Who they got this week?
No, I don't know. But they only had 49.
Collingwood.
Really?
It's a double header.
Oh, they can't be forced.
It's a double header.
What do you mean double header?
It's
well,
on
there's
the
a
dock
game.
Lanes.
You have one game and then you have curtain another
raiser.
Game straight after it.
It's a curtain
We're playing
raiser.
West Coast.
Curtain
yeah,
raiser.
We've got Collingwood before it.
Northern Blues before the main
game.
Oh,
really?
It's a double header. There's the VFL game, then there's the AFL game.
That's
a double
fantastic.
Header.
They can't be full strength.
Who?
With all their injuries, they can't be full strength.
We'll beat Collingwood.
I had a look at their injury list today. Collingwood's.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There's a lot of blokes on there.
Jesus,
mate. How many are certainties to play in there? Half a dozen?
Oh, guys who are best 22. Oh,
half a D?
Oh, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you make up the numbers if you're that deep with injury
the
twos?
A couple of top-ups, you know. You might get a call-up.
AFLW girls come in.
Well, I don't think that's likely to happen, Stephen, no.
Well, it's part of their club. I'm just wondering where they get the resources
girls
from.
Girls in the VFL team, no.
They play better than the blokes.
Some of them, true.
I just want to mention one
bloke.
By the
way, Georgie Parker's playing for the Blue Baggers.
What?
The actor?
Georgie Parker, not the actor, no, former hockey player, who's a great girl. Questionable taste in food.
I was going to turn up for sure if she's playing.
No idea about a good apple. Poor choice in chocolate, but outstanding human being. And
what apple do you like?
Me?
Yeah.
The Jazz.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
No, I'm a pink lady.
I love the flavour of Jazz, but
Georgie Parker.
It's a copyrighted apple. It's bullshit.
The Jazz is?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Granny
Smith, the Jonathan.
The Jazz in particular.
They all are, mate.
You can't touch a Jazz unless you are like the owner of the Jazz.
What the fuck are you talking
about?
No,
you can't grow a Jazz without a license.
Well, good.
Some bullshit going on with Jazz.
The reputation of the
Jazz. I like the Pink Lady.
I know.
Yeah, I like Pink Lady.
What chocolate do you like?
A Morrow and a cherry ripe.
Yeah.
I like fruit and nut.
Fruit and nut's always been my favourite, but now I'm into dark chocolate. I like dark chocolate.
Just a little bit, though. Can't have too much
dark
chocolate.
No, not too much.
No, it's good for you. Dark chocolate's good for you.
Is it?
Yep.
I like dark chocolate.
No, good
on you. I've got a real
fascination. What are the benefits? What does it do?
It's good for
I want to speak about one bloke. Yeah, no, it's really good for you.
It's really good for you.
Yeah, after about 6, 7, or 8 blocks. I want to talk about a fella who...
Is it when we win, do we have less stuff to talk about?
No, no.
So we're not as pissed off when we win.
Nah.
Oh, I'm definitely not pissed
off. Isn't it amazing how you can actually face the week without any issue?
Magnificent.
Like our courier that comes into where I work every day is a mad Collingwood bastard. You should have seen him bloody hunched over today. I said, Zoran, you poor bastard. I even feel sorry for you, mate.
No, it's really nice. Oh, I'm just about done here. I'm ready to give him the votes and get out of here.
We've got a little bit more to go.
You have.
I want to talk about a fellow who's... really stepped up the last 3 or 4 weeks in the reserves. With Goddard being injured, he came up and then got injured, Ben Silvani.
Okay.
Good.
Has taken the bit between the teeth.
What end of the ground has he been playing?
Back.
Okay.
Back, yep. And going along very, very nicely.
Very good to hear.
Yeah, using the pill.
Good.
Getting in areas where, you know, Goddard would have been. So... he's coming along better than what perhaps.
I'll go and have a good look at him this week.
Yeah.
Get there early.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Get there early and have a bit of a gander.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez, his brother. His brother's, his brother's only 20. You know, here's the thing, right? His brother's 21 and is a goal a game, pretty much a goal a game.
Mm. That's what we wanted from him.
In a team that has been skunky for the first 4 years of his career.
Well, he's another one, Andy. He's another
people
one.
People want to knock him.
Well, Teague said during the week that he got...
stuffed if I know.
Before the game. He got dropped. And that when he got dropped, that was not team balance. That was because he felt that he wasn't doing some of the things being asked of him. Well, since he's come back into the team, has not put a foot wrong.
No, Jesus. Remarkable.
Took the big grab.
Yep.
Kick the big goal.
He's doing what the team needs him to do. No, he's just a ripper.
Role player.
Anything else? Girls got beaten.
Did they?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Uni, Melbourne
Nuggets
Uni.
Strong.
Yeah?
Yeah, strong.
How long have they been around for? Forever?
A long time.
Yeah, just
they're VFL. They're one of the perennials. Yep, yep. So they're going to tie up with North.
Right.
Yeah. But they're a strong female footy club.
Okay.
Yep. What do you got?
Nothing.
You done?
Yep.
That's remarkable. This is probably the shortest pod we've ever done. That's nice. You know what will happen? When we're a good team again, we won't need this pod anymore.
No.
Our job will be done.
That's right. Hang the boots up.
Yep. That's a bit sad.
Anything you said?
I was just about to say, Baz, because I forgot last week that you texted us Arthur O'Brien.
Ah,
thank
yes.
you.
Oh, he's a good
yes.
man, Arthur.
Yes.
Really good man.
Oh, I forgot to, yeah. Well, thank you, Arthur, for the couple of bottles of wine. That's magnificent. All I will say, Arthur, is that there's three of us, and you give me two bottles of wine, so I'm not quite sure how I'm going to divvy that
up. We'll have to decanter that one.
Baz, because you're there. You have them, mate. You have them.
No, not at all.
I want you to have him.
But he wrote a letter, didn't he, Andy?
We'll go out and have a feed with him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
Let's do that.
Well, I think that's what he gave it to us for, to go out for a feed and have a nice little...
In fact, I hope he doesn't mind this.
You going to read it out?
Oh, no, it's not the letter.
He also does wine tours.
Yeah.
Arthur O'Brien does
his
wine.
Summers. His wife's the viticulturalist, and he does a business.
True partners.
I'm going to read... No, I won't read it out. It's a private message, so I won't read it out. Votes.
Hang on. A couple other things. The club has announced the breakthrough of 64,000 members last week, which is a threshold we've never been to before.
Absolutely.
I know they throw out a lot of three-game bloody memberships and stuff.
It's a figure.
They're all playing the game. But that's a good number now.
Oh, fantastic.
And the noise that we're starting to hear on at game day.
That Carlton Raw gigs.
It's coming back,
isn't
it?
It's coming back.
Were you a bit disappointed with 36?
I was a little bit.
Yeah, I was. 38.
That was a bit strange, I thought.
I was hoping for 45, but there's been a whole host of excuses being given. The car park was shut and there was train... stoppages or something. I don't know. Just get there. Just get there, people.
The other thing was Daisy. I don't know if you guys heard. He was on report.
Yeah.
Only a fine.
Oh, he got the fine, didn't he?
Only a fine. But apparently the AFL have given the thumbs up for anyone whacking anyone this year. So I'd probably do it myself if I knew I was just going to get a fine. So good on you, AFL. Well done.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Cunnington's got
keep up the good
times.
Work, boys, down there.
Yeah. There was nothing in it, was there?
He belted him in the back of the head. I would have bloody done something about it. He didn't do it by accident, I'll tell you right now.
You reckon he got him full on?
Yeah.
I thought he sort of
no, he flushed him.
Part.
He flushed him.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he flushed him.
He flushed him.
Turn it up.
He just had a hard head, that's all. If it was Cruz, he'd be out for 2 weeks.
Just before we get on to the votes, Andrew, Fiona's ladder, we've dropped a peg. Because the Western Bulldogs had a good win. So we've gone back to sixth. But Adelaide in that ladder would be 10th. So that's after 7 weeks.
Who are we all picking for GF at this stage?
One.
Who's going to win the flag?
Richmond.
I reckon two.
Snap.
That'll
be a good test for us.
Don't things just change on a dime?
Oh, well, six weeks ago, I think I said Collingwood. So
it's amazing.
You did say West Coast.
Oh, I said West Coast. Yeah. Well, I think that's a grand. Oh, they're the grand finalists. I think.
Yeah, right.
Keep going, Baz. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Well, that's just Fiona's ladder, keeping us up to date with
votes.
Tiggy.
Good on your fee.
And,
votes. Votes.
Awesome.
We're just sitting here. We're dribbling now. Can someone do their votes, please? There are actually, we're asking people to listen to this, so votes.
Do you want me to
go
first? All right, yes, here we go. 4 votes to Cripper. He was given a birthday party thanks to Adelaide on the weekend. And he just cashed in his chips. Good luck to him. 3 votes each to Simo Setters. Setters, a new benchmark. I don't know what his final total was, but towards the end of the game, he was 536 metres gained. He put on that final goal was a ripper. Gibbons, I'm in love with Gibbons. I just think he's the best thing that's come to the club this year. SBS and Phillips complete my three votes.
Other than Sam Walsh.
But here's a surprise, we didn't expect.
Yep.
And two votes each to Murph, Walsh, Ed, Daisy, Soss, Levi, Weeders, and Kennedy. One vote each to Newman, DeLuca, and Plowman.
Paul.
Yes, I got no surprise. Cripps, 4. I gave the old bastard 4 as well. Simo, you get 4. I thought it was impeccable. Well, what are you rolling your eyes for, mate? Listen here, four eyes.
Keep going. They're your votes. And of course, you can give him 4. He was fantastic.
I thought he was fantastic.
He was great.
Levi, 3. Setterfield, 3. Walsh, 3. Gibbons, 3. Thomas, 3. I gave 2 to Ed Curno, Jack, SPS, Murphy, Plowman, Wiedering, and Jones, and Phillips. 1 each to Newman, Kennedy, and DeLuca. Now, who would have thought that the side that knocked off Adelaide on the weekend, that a player from Williamstown that was picked up...
Mid-season draft.
In Gibbons.
Mm-hmm.
And a fella that picked up in the mid-season draft in DeLuca from the Sandville?
No, Waffle.
Waffle, sorry.
Subiaco.
Would be playing together in that game and get the chocolates against Adelaide.
Good call by you.
Subiaco.
Yeah. 4 votes Cripps, 3 votes Simpson, Casbolt, Setterfield, Phillips, Thomas. 2 votes Murphy, Gibbons, Samo, E. Curno, Walsh, Jones. 1 vote Silvani, Kennedy, Newman, Wiedering, DeLuca, Lang, Plowman, O'Brien, Dow, Mackay. Everybody gets a piece of the chocolate tonight.
Geez, that's generous.
That is.
But you potted me. You potted me last week about I wasn't here to defend myself.
You were waiting for that.
Who'd we beat?
Hanging out for that reply.
Sorry?
Hmm?
I bet the side that lost by 10 points to Essendon, who's sitting fourth on the ladder or something or other. Gold Coast.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But can I just say something before I go?
Yes, you can.
I want to share something with you.
Where are my keys?
First of all, to all those, I don't expect kids will be listening to this show, but parents out there that had kids who were struggling with our team, struggling to wear our jumper, struggling whether they wanted to continue to follow us, just listen to this from my daughter. I'd had a few night shifts in a row, and straight after the game I went to night shift. So this is her message to me when I get there. Hope you have a good night, Dad.
Here he goes. Come on, stay with the big fella.
Give him a cuddle.
Come on.
Thanks for raising me as a blue bagger and helping me stick by them through the tough times.
Now, you're a good kid, Fee.
There's nothing I love more than going to the footy with you. Just remember that, folks, when your kids don't want to follow Carlton anymore.
Good on your bags. Good on your feet. And good on you, everybody. Thanks
for
tuning in.
Blood is thicker than water, eh?
It's been another good week. Let's create another headline or two this weekend at Docklands.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
When making the double chicken deluxe at Macca's, we wanted to improve on the perfect combo of tender Aussie chicken with cheese, tomato and aioli. So, we doubled it. Chicken and Macca's, together and loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Available after 10:30 a.m. for a limited time only.